Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. So let's take a moment to talk about a 2009 double homicide that occurred in Lowell. Now, we're not going to talk about the shooters in this case. We're going to talk about another defendant. This person supplied the gun and hoodies used in a robbery that went wrong and ended up in that double homicide. That person was then charged with felony murder. Now, remember, he was not present while the actual crime was being committed, but he was charged and convicted. Well, today, the Supreme Judicial Court of Massachusetts ruled that felony murder is constitutional and upheld the man's conviction after appeal. But the court did decide to make the rules for future such convictions much more strict by narrowing who can be prosecuted under the felony murder rule. So here now to help us understand what this all means is Nancy Gertner. She's a former federal judge, retired federal judge, and senior lecturer at Harvard Law School and WBUR's legal analyst. Judge Gertner, it's good to have you back.
Good to be here.
Okay, so is this a significant rule from the SJC? Felony murder, constitutional in Massachusetts?
Well, what's significant is felony murder limited in Massachusetts. In other words, the underlying felony murder rule, it held to be constitutional, but limited it dramatically, and frankly, limited it in the way that other states have done in a number of occasions. In other words, limited the circumstances under which it could be applied.
Okay, so tell us more. What are these limitations then that the SJC has put
in? Think about it this way. I mean, in felony murder, the usual rule in Massachusetts was if you associated yourself in some way with a felony, robbery, whatever, and death resulted, you are held responsible for first-degree murder, whether you intended the death, whether you sought to prevent it, whether the death was accidental, whether you were present. In other words, one can envision a whole host of situations where someone was really not particularly culpable, but nevertheless was held responsible for the murder. And the reason was all you had to intend to participate in or all you had to associate yourself with was the underlying felony, not anything else. What the court said here is that in order to find someone guilty of murder for participating in a felony, you have to show some association with the desire, with the killing. It can't just be sort of participation in a felony which death results. You have to show he intended to kill or cause grievous bodily harm. He intended to do so. He intended to take an act which everyone knew was going to lead to death or bodily harm.
I feel like, Judge Gertner, in many conversations that you and I have had about a whole number of things outside this realm of felony murder, you always tell me that it's really hard to prove intent. But yet you're saying here that in this case, that's one of the bases upon which the SJC is saying if you can sort of prove some intent, then the felony murder charges is a good one.
Well, it prevents people. When you think of it this way, there's a range of people who were swept into felony murder, first-degree murder convictions, who had a range of culpability, a whole range of culpability. I'm asleep in the front seat. I have no idea what they're doing. But when they get in the car, they tell me, go. And I know they're doing something wrong. And there's a death that results, and now suddenly you're responsible. Or, as in this case, the guy is at home, in fact, and they take he lends them a gun. At one point, he tells them, I'd rather not. a whole range of culpability, all the way to someone who's actually the lookout standing outside who fully associates himself with what's going on inside. So you think about a range of culpability, and all that the court is doing here is saying that we're going to limit felony murder to one end of that range, to the most culpable people. That is to say, those people who participated in the felony but intended to kill or cause bodily harm or intended to participate in an event that would lead to where there was a likelihood of bodily harm.
Yeah. So I hear you, Judge Gertner. But, I mean, as you know, Chief Justice Gantz, in fact, wanted to go even further than just narrowing the scope of felony murder. He wanted to completely abandon the rule. He wrote, I also believe that we should abandon the fiction of constructive malice, that where a killing occurs in the commission of a felony, the intent to commit the felony is sufficient alone to establish malice.
Well, that's sort of what he's saying. He's saying if you can't establish participation in the felony doesn't mean you had the state of mind of malice. And in fact, in this case, you're going to have to show something like malice aforethought, something closer to that. People have been hooked on felony murder. It's oftentimes juveniles, actually. There's a whole adolescent issue here. You know, the guy is asleep in the car, doesn't know what the other guys are doing. The guy's asleep on the couch while his friends are doing something else. The situation where you lent something to somebody and you knew they were going to rob it, but you absolutely never intended to have anyone get killed. Where the killing is fortuitous, the killing is accidental. Something happens during the course of it. Those are the kinds of situations which we ordinarily would say would not be murder. The felony murder rule was really an aberration in that universe. Abolished in England, abolished in a number of states. So what this court is doing is really aligning itself with, you know, what scholars on criminal law and what other states have been doing for some time.
Interesting. So, but there still are other states in the country where a felony murder law is on the books still.
It's true, although actually we were one of the strictest. I mean, other courts have coming up with all sorts of ways of limiting it, not unlike this. Some have abolished it outright. We actually had one of the strictest rules.
Okay. But so how frequently does the SJC do something like this, where they affirmed a conviction but narrowed the scope of the law around which this conviction was created? So
not usual at
yeah.
all. That's what's interesting about this. And in fact, when you read the decision, challenges to the felony murder rule have been going on for years and years and years. I raised a constitutional challenge to felony murder when I was a 29-year-old lawyer. the challenges have been going on precisely because while there may be situations in which it makes sense, right? You shoot someone when you're escaping from a bank robbery. Gee, you participated in the bank robbery, but you also clearly were participating in a murder versus I'm asleep on my couch blocks away. I don't even know what you're doing.
Mm. What does this mean for the conviction of the actual defendant in this case, if the scope of the law itself has been changed?
Interestingly enough, the SJC has authority to review the justice of first-degree murder convictions. And so what they did is they found this first-degree murder conviction unfair, reduced his charge to second-degree murder, which makes him eligible to get out in 15 years, for parole, rather. But they said, going forward, we're changing the standards. Let me just say one other unfairness. It oftentimes, it's not unusual for the principals in the robbery, the people who actually participated, to take a plea to second-degree murder. And the guy who was asleep on the couch thinking he can get away with this goes to trial, and he winds up with first-degree murder. So there is a whole host of unfairness that this is attempting to get at.
Hmm. Well, Nancy Gertner, former federal judge and senior lecturer at Harvard Law School and WBUR's legal analyst. Judge Gertner, thank you so much.
Thank you.